our friend Joe Ovius from 999 The Fan. He hosts the OG show with him and Joe Giglio. He joins us on Sports Radio FNZ. Joe, Willie P, and Stan, how are you, pal? Joe, you there?
There we go. I was going to say, I finally heard the little radio clicky thing. What's up, Kevin?
There you go. What's happening, Joe?
So, from the Sam Howell perspective, number one, are you surprised that he's playing in this game, and how does that affect Carolina's chances against the other Carolina?
So, I think the fact that it's being played in Charlotte and Sam Howell being the Charlotte guy makes a lot of sense. If this were a bowl game in another market, maybe Sam Howell would not play, and I would actually be surprised that he won't be involved. So, and who knows? Maybe the way the season went for Carolina, he wants to make sure they go out on a really, really positive note. They end up 7-6. It's South Carolina, so obviously there's implications there. The history between North Carolina and South Carolina in that Bank of America Stadium, where South Carolina usually gets the better of triangle teams in the non-conference game. So, long story short, I'm not surprised given it's the Mayo Bowl.
Joe, why should Sam Howell return to Chapel Hill?
Wait, whoa. Why should he? He shouldn't. Stan, is that a trick question?
I just put it out there open-ended. You tell me.
Look, should he come back to Chapel Hill if he really enjoys college, if he really likes his teammates, and he wants to, do something that is essentially, not to complete the mission, but maybe, I don't know. I don't see him improving his draft stock, right? You wouldn't be coming back to improve your draft stock. I really do think that Sam Howell is still a first-day guy when it's all said and done. If anything, the way the season went, where he literally dragged that team offensively and showed another aspect of his game, we all knew he was quote-unquote sneaky athletic, but that dude was breaking five tackles and dragging guys to the end zone. If you're an NFL scout, I get it's a different level when you get to the NFL, but he at least showed you the toughness and grit that you'd want in a quarterback. I can't imagine that this season, despite the record, is going to hurt him draft stock-wise. In fact, it might help him.
Talking with Joe Ovius here from 99.9 The Fan about what's going on with North Carolina football going into the Duke's Mayo Bowl against South Carolina. Just from an offseason perspective, Joe, if we were to have trusted Jay Bateman and this defense to have been improved going into this year, why should we trust them to try and remake the disaster that it was in 2021 next year and beyond?
That is an amazing question, because I am of the attitude that Mac Brown should be making a change at the defensive coordinator position. But right now the attitude seems to be, and at least the way Mac Brown talked about it yesterday with signing day coming up next week, that recruiting is going to solve the problem. I know that some Carolina fans are going to be upset when I bring this up, but the big difference between Carolina and NC State right now is that Dave Thorne has shown a history of developing depth and sending guys to the NFL. Right now in the Mac Brown tenure, what we know is that they can recruit the hell out of the state. They can win the press conference. They can win the offseason, but they haven't shown a consistency in winning on the field. And what was supposed to be an improved product for North Carolina ended up being stagnant, or in certain cases, worse as the season went on. And then even the positions where you thought that they would actually see, where they actually had experience, the offensive line, as we talked about with Sam Howell, that wasn't exactly there all season long as he got beat up and had to do everything. So if I'm Mac Brown, this is going one of two ways, okay? Either you believe that your recruiting is going to be so good that it's going to overcome some of these schematic problems, or... And look, it's been 3 years. Or Mac Brown doesn't necessarily feel the same kind of pressure in his return to Carolina than it was when he was at Carolina in the first place, or the pressure that comes with playing or running a program at Texas. We talked to Greg Barnes of Inside Carolina a couple weeks ago when all this stuff was going on. He actually did say something similar to that that got me to open my eyes. Where's Mac Brown going? You're not firing Mac Brown, right? I mean, his return was basically Mac's going to do this until he retires. And when you strip away the results from the field, Mac Brown's done exactly as he was intended to, what people wanted him to do when he came back. Get Carolina out there and recruiting, repair those recruiting relationships in North Carolina. Get talked about nonstop on media. Everybody loves Mac Brown. So, yeah, if you're not feeling the pressure, then maybe you don't necessarily feel the pressure to move on from your coordinators.
You comfortable with Dave Doran has the program at coming out of this season, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. In the last 5 years, they have consistently been winning 8-9 games. They had a chance to win 10 games this season. There was a blip in 2018 where they went 4-8, and you can chalk that up to a lot of injuries. But for the most part, this is a program. Okay, you know, if you look at the history of NC State, the last time you can definitively say they had a program was when Dick Sheridan was that coach, and college football was a completely different beast back in that day. So I know Dave Thorne's not sexy. He's not somebody that will sit there and wow you in a press conference. When you actually look at the results, I'm not quite sure what you could ask for out of NC State at this point in time. They're in a contention window. They have been a resilient group the last couple of years. And if Clemson continues to be in the state of flux that they're in with their coordinator position, transfer portal, everything else, who's to say that NC State, who's basically running it back on the defense next year, doesn't have another opportunity? And that's really, for 98% of college football fans, you know, like the people who don't root for Ohio State, the people who don't root for Alabama, those types of things, for 98% of college football fans, you should be good with having a program that at least has a contention window. And NC State's been in a contention window the last couple of years. They haven't broken through yet. I get the frustration on that. But at some point, they will.
And the fact that nobody really broke through this year in the ACC has led to questions about the conference not really being a part of the national spotlight without Clemson in the mix. How confident are you that maybe if Clemson is kind of closer to the pack, that can happen next year and beyond? Or do you feel like this year was an outlier for Clemson and it's just going to be the way it's always been before this year?
No, I really do think there's a huge test for Clemson going into this offseason. Dabo's always built himself on being a big culture guy. But if you look at the instances in which Clemson's turned around their program, they've brought in outside guys, Brent Venables being the biggest one. And now that he's off to Oklahoma, they seem to be going through this mode of hiring from within. It's a bet. Dabo's always believed in himself. He's always bet on himself. And for the most part, he's been absolutely successful with that. National championships are a big you know, scoreboard measure on that one. But every great program will go through this. But as we know with the state of college football, a lot of great programs will fall off because of some poor decisions when it comes to coordinators and the direction. Look at Florida State. Look at Miami. Look at Clemson before that. Alabama was going through the wilderness before Nick Saban finally got there and started to do the thing. So it's not a surefire thing. It could change on you with an instant. But Clemson always has a want-to factor, and if it doesn't work out again next year, I wouldn't be surprised if Dabo ends up doing the same thing he did when they brought in Brett Venables, bringing an outside person to get things kick-started again.
Joe, I'm fascinated by the coaches, the names that are taking a peek at the football program over there in Durham. And I see names like Tony Elliott. I see names like Jason Garrett. What's going on over there that these type of guys are willing to take a deep dive in the Blue Devil program?
Money. Money always factors in. Look, this is not the same Duke program that David Cutcliffe took over. That was the worst football program, Power 5 football program in America. And there's a symbiotic relationship between Duke and Wake Forest, right? Jim Grobe and what he was able to build at Wake Forest was an impetus for Duke to get their act together. They put money into the Yale Football Center. That continued on with a complete rebuild of Wallace Wake Stadium that includes luxury suites, alcohol sales, and everything else. Unfortunately for David Cutcliffe, as much as he did to build up the program and make it respectable, it fell off, obviously, the last couple of years. So what's next for Duke? Well, you see what's happening with Dave Clawson. Again, there's that relationship. Dave Clawson's been allowed to build over years with a unique style of offense with that whole mesh point, which is just a glorified, you know, it's a glorified triple option, but whatever. I don't want to insult Dave Clawson. So that's what they need to do. I know a lot of people have pointed out Jeff Munkin at Army would be the perfect fit for what Duke can do in the future, but maybe he just doesn't have the interest to do that. Mike Elko, who's the defensive coordinator at Texas A&M, he was at Notre Dame before that. But before he took the defensive coordinator position at Notre Dame, he was with Dave Clawson for like 12 years. He was with him at Bowling Green, I think Fordham as well, and obviously at Wake Forest. So he would come out of that Clawson mold of how to build a unique program that has to work outside the margins, that doesn't have the same access to recruits and facilities like Clemson does, or even an NC State or North Carolina. The Jason Garrett thing, I think that's just one of those who-you-know situations. Garrett and Cutcliffe had a relationship. Duke and the Cowboys would actually, you know, like Duke would go to the Star and check out how they did things. Garrett has shown up to Cameron Indoor Stadium for a couple of games. I know he showed up with Tony Romo one time at Cameron Indoor Stadium for a basketball game. And, you know, my understanding of Garrett is, what, he's not married, doesn't have kids, he just wants to coach. So, hey, if you want to coach that bad, Duke would be interested.
Want to get one more in there on Carolina basketball. Coach Hubert Davis called it a validating win over the weekend against Georgia Tech. Didn't get them into the top 25, but do you feel like they're turning a corner in a positive way?
Yeah, I think they are. Like most college basketball, guard play absolutely matters. And if RJ Davis and Caleb Love are going to play the way that they have, especially Caleb Love in the last two games, then I like Carolina's chances. Carolina had a high ceiling. I mean, I don't know who's necessarily great in the ACC. There might not be a great team in the ACC, but Carolina of the group always had a nice ceiling given the talent that they've got there. Hubert Davis never been a head coach before. Yes, I know he was the JV coach of Carolina, but he's never been a head coach at a program like UNC. There was always going to be a learning curve coming off of Roy Williams. And I thought the early discussion points around Hubert Davis were kind of comical. I guess people wanted to keep tabs on Wes Miller. That's fine. But really, let's give Hubert some time. They got the talent. I thought that win at Georgia Tech was more impressive in a way than the Michigan win, because going to Atlanta for Carolina has always been a house of horrors. That's an easy letdown game situation. They didn't let down. And I like their ceiling.